It's our Christmas celebration, and Christmas is actually all about Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's about God, the Son of God, coming into the world to be the world rescuer. And at Christmas time, we're remembering that like we do all year, and we're thinking about that, and that's what we're going to think about today. We're going to think about Jesus as the world rescuer who God promised would come into the world. And to begin our worship, we're going to read from the prophet Isaiah, words he wrote long time ago, more than hundreds of years ago. It's over 2,000 years ago. And he promised that somebody would come. So listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 2 and 6 and 7, and they're going to come up there. There we are. Okay. This is what Isaiah said. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Because, this is why a light has dawned. Because to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government, that means the rule, will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah says, the people walking in darkness, that means the people who are walking without knowing God and living trapped in their sin, on these people a light has appeared. And that light is a child, is a person. And that person is going to rule, is going to rule forever, is going to be called Wonderful Counselor because they're going to speak the truth and tell us how to get to God. They're actually going to be called Mighty God because the child is going to be God. They're going to be called Everlasting Father because they're going to take care and provide for the people. And he's going to be called Prince of Peace because he's going to make peace with God and he's going to make peace on earth. And he's going to rule like that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's what Isaiah promised. And Christmas is when we're celebrating that that child has come. And his name is Jesus. He's the King of the world, he's God, he's a Prince of Peace, and he will rule forever. And that's what we're going to think about this morning. Everything is about Jesus. And that's why we've come together this morning, to learn about him and to worship him. And so what we'll do, we'll sing our first song, which is Angels from the Realms of Glory. So do stand when Jordan begins and we'll sing it together. We're going to have our first reading now, and our first reading is going to be from Matthew. All of our readings are going to be from Matthew. And our theme is going to be clues. You got that? Clues to find the world rescuer. That's our theme. And we're going to have four clues, and there's going to be a clue in each of the readings. So, the first reading is going to be Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. And here's the thing. It's got so many names. It's just names, names, names. But I want you to listen out for a few names, okay? I want you to see if you can listen out for Abraham, Judah, David, okay? Abraham, Judah, and David. See if you can spot them along the way, all right? Matthew's going to come and do our first reading.
a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ.
Okay, I need a volunteer. I need a man volunteer, actually. Sorry, any man want to volunteer? I need you to stand here because, just hold on, all the excitement. This is all very good. That's okay. What we just read was our first clue, okay? And the first clue, so that we know that the baby Jesus is the world fixer, is because he came from the correct, ready, family tree. He came from the right family tree. Wait on. Here is our family tree. And here's why I need a man to come and be my helper. Because I need a man to stand here like this and exercise the strength of his deltoid or whatever this is. Anybody, while I do this, come. Yes, Josh. All right, here we go. Okay. Thank you, Josh. And what Matthew wants us to know, that's the person who wrote this part of the Bible, is he wants us to know that the baby Jesus comes from the right family tree. Now, to understand why this is important, we first need to realize that the story starts with Adam and Eve, the first people that were made, okay? The first people that were made. And they were made and they were placed in God's good world and they were made in the image of God to rule over God's world. These are the first people. And they needed to obey God and love God and trust God. But what happened was the devil, who happened to be dressed up as a snake and he tricked Adam and Eve, he told them that it wasn't worth listening to God. God's rules were a bit silly and God was keeping some good things from them. And they decided to trust the snake instead of trusting God and they disobeyed God. Now, the thing is, God is just and he always punishes disobedience. But at the same time, God is really gracious. And so when he punished Adam and Eve, he also gave them a promise. And the promise was one day there's going to be a child. And that child is going to fix all the stuff that your sin and the devil have brought into the world. Now, as time went on and people were born, as we go down this, these are like lines where different families come from. God gave them clues about which family this special promised child would come from. So along the way, God promised, after some time, that the child would come from the family of Abraham. So God met with Abraham, and he said, I'm choosing you, Abraham. So here we go. Now, which means God said it's not from the families that go here or the families out here, all these ones. It's going to be from the family of Abraham. That's where the special child's going to come from. And as time went on and time went on, God gave them a little bit more of help. And he said, the child is going to come from the family of Judah. Judah is the family. Not from the family of Simeon, or not from the family of Levi. Not the other big names that you hear in the Bible, from the family of Judah. That's where the child's going to come from. And then as years went on and years went on, somebody in Judah's family by the name of David was born. And God said, the child's going to come from the family of David. So we went all the way down here. It's going to be from David's family that the child's going to come. And so you see, what we just read was all the names, and it was going all the way down. It was telling us all the different people, all the different names, all the children. And then it got to David, and then we said, and then Matthew, who wrote this part of the Bible, he says, hey, and when Jesus was born, he was here. He came from the very family that God promised the child would come from. He came from David's family, which David came from Judah's family, who came from Abraham's family, who came from the very beginning, and this is the one. He's the world fixer. So, in one sense, it's quite simple. The first clue that we know that Jesus is the world rescuer who will fix everything is because he comes from the correct family. That's it. We're going to have another song now. We're going to sing Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. Do stand and sing. We're going to have our second reading now, which is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And listen out here, because we're going to get our second clue so that we know that Jesus is the world rescuer. Naomi.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus.
Okay, so God, believe it or not, he wants you to definitely trust him so much that he keeps giving us clues so that we know that Jesus is the one that we should put our trust in. And this second clue here is that God had said through the prophet, and a prophet is somebody who speaks God's word to the people, God had said that the child that you need to look for is going to be born from a virgin, which means the child is going to have a mum, but not a dad. What? Now, technically, he does have a dad, but not a human dad. But that's for another day. You can ask your parents about that. Right? So, this is the child. It's going to be a miracle child. A miracle, impossible birth, because Mary and Joseph, they hadn't tried to have a child yet, and it was only Mary on her own, and God put the baby directly into Mary's belly. Just like that. Now, that is an impossible miracle baby. But here's the thing. God had told them for a long time that there's a pattern. This is doesn't come as a complete surprise. Because the first person to have this happen was Sarah. Now, Sarah, it wasn't quite the same, but it was still a miracle child. Sarah was old, you see. She was too old to have children. Now, that happens. When a woman gets too old, she can no longer have children. But God said that she would have a child. And so God kept his promise like he always does. And old Sarah had a baby. So it was a miracle baby, and it was a special baby. But then it happened again with a woman named Hannah. Now, Hannah, she was old enough still to have children, but she couldn't have children even though she tried with her husband. Now, God's ways are mysterious, and sometimes this is what God allows. It doesn't mean that God's not good. God is always good, and God always has a plan, but we can't always see it. Now, what Hannah did is Hannah prayed, and she trusted God. And God was gracious, and God actually did give her a child. Even though she couldn't have children, God gave Hannah an impossible miracle baby. Now, it doesn't happen every time people who can't have a baby try, but in this case, it did. And Hannah had a miracle, impossible baby, and that baby was a guy named Samuel. He was really important. So we have a miracle baby with Sarah and an important child. We have a miracle baby with Hannah, and it was an important child. And then we have Mary comes along. Mary comes along, and she's young. And as I've already said, her and Joseph hadn't even tried for a baby. Joseph, with Sarah, at least there was Abraham, and with Hannah, at least there was Elimelech to make the baby with. Elimelech's a fun word if you want to practice that in the week. But with Mary, no dad. Now that is a miracle child, and he is going to be very special. And that's what Matthew is telling us. He's saying the child, he comes from the right family tree. And guess what? He's also a miracle child, just like the pattern the Bible shows us. So that's two clues that we know Jesus is the world rescuer who's going to fix everything, and we should trust in him. We're now going to sing From the Squalor of a Borrowed Table, and then we'll have our... What did I say? I'm getting my merds wumbled. Okay. Haha, dad joke. And then we'll have our third Bible reading from Esri. So do stand and sing.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of the king Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this was what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of your will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.
Thanks, Esri. Okay, we're up to our third clue now. And the third clue is, and Jesus has to tick all the boxes. He's got to come from the right family. He's got to have an amazing miracle birth. And now we learn that he's got to come from a place called Bethlehem. Okay? And Matthew is telling us, that's right. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, the thing about Bethlehem is, Bethlehem was this tiny little place up in the north of Jerusalem. It wasn't that important. That's why the Magi, we'll find out about them in a minute, don't worry, they come to Jerusalem, the big important city. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why would the special world rescuer be born in an insignificant, tiny, unimportant little town? Well, I tell you, that's exactly like God. God loves to take the weak, small, insignificant things and do amazing, powerful stuff with them to show off that it's all about Him. He loves to show off that all the power comes from Him. So, that's one reason why he was born in Bethlehem, but there's a second reason, and this is really cool. The second reason is because Bethlehem, guess what it means? It means house of bread. So, Matthew was telling us not just where the world rescuer would come from, but he was teaching us what the world rescuer would be like. Now, bear with me. Because I have a house of bread. Okay. Fantastic. Yes. Very good, very good. Okay. I didn't make the house of bread, all right? But hopefully it sticks in your mind. Bethlehem means house of bread. Beth, house, Lehem, bread. Beth, Lehem, house of bread. So, why is this teaching us about Jesus? Because bread is a symbol for food. Bread is everywhere. Everyone knows about bread, and everyone knows bread is food. And bread, as food, it gives you strength. It fills you up. And it keeps you alive. It fills you up, it gives you strength, and it keeps you alive. And Jesus, the world fixer, he's not like earthly bread, he's heavenly bread. He's bread that has come down from heaven, who fills us up. He fills up our minds with truth. He fills up our hearts with peace. He fills up our lives with good things. He's the bread of heaven. He gives us strength. Strength to love God. Strength to love our neighbor. Strength to fight sin and the devil. And, just like bread, he keeps us alive. But the bread of heaven, Jesus, the world fixer, he doesn't just keep us alive for a day or two. He keeps us alive forever. Jesus came from the house of bread to teach us that he is the bread of heaven that fills us up, gives us strength, and will give us eternal life. But the thing is, you can't eat Jesus, can you? What? No, the way you eat Jesus is different, all right? You don't eat Jesus like bread. Jesus is the bread of life that you take into you by faith. That's how you do it. Faith is the thing that gets Jesus in you. Okay, that's our third clue. Now, I believe I have another clue that's a human clue, and you can get ready now. Thank you. We'll all stand to sing our next song, and then we'll have our final reading from Bowie.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 12. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Okay, we're on our last clue. Here it comes. These are the Magi. Okay, the Magi, which we just read about in here, they are kind of like kings and kind of like priests. But they're not quite either. They're very important people. And they've traveled from the east, okay? And they've been following the star, which is a light in the sky. Now, Matthew, who wrote the Bible that we read, he wants us to know that when the baby Jesus was born, he came from the right family. He had a miracle birth. He was born in the right town, which was Bethlehem, the house of bread. And when he was born, ding, 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 people came to give him gifts by following a light and worship him. Now, that is exactly what the prophet wrote, Isaiah the prophet wrote, in Isaiah chapter 60, he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." He says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." He even says, "The wealth of the seas will be brought to you." And then he says, "And all from Sheba will come bearing gold and frankincense." So people who knew what the prophet Isaiah said, when they saw the Magi coming, they went, the promise of Isaiah is happening. The nations are coming. The light has brought them there. They are very important royal people, and they represent all the different countries, you see. Because up until then, God was only working, he was only among the nation Israel. But now, all the nations were coming. Because here's the thing, from the very beginning, God had always promised that through the nation of Israel, God would bless the whole world. And this is what was happening. The world was coming to the world rescuer, and he was going to bless the whole world. Now, one of the Magi is holding two sacks and some a bar of gold. He's very strong to hold up that heavy gold. Now, these things, one sack has got frankincense, and the other sack has got myrrh. Now, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Interesting. Why are they bringing those gifts? I'll tell you why. Those three things are what you would find in the temple. God's temple was full of gold. And do you know what the temple smelled like? It smelled like burning frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh was in the special incense that would get burned all the time. And frankincense would be put on sacrifices and get burned. So the temple was full of gold, and it would have smelled like burning frankincense and burning myrrh. But why are the Magi taking things that go in the temple to a baby? Shouldn't they be taking those things to the temple? Listen carefully. Here's the thing. Guess what? Jesus is the temple. Huh? I'll tell you why. The temple is the place you go to meet with God. That's what happens at the temple. The temple is the place you go to have your sin taken away and be in a good relationship with God. That's what happens at the temple. But Jesus has come to replace the temple. Jesus is the place that you come to meet with God, because he is God. Jesus is the place that you come to take your sin away and be in a good relationship with God. So the Magi are coming, following the star, the light, bringing their gifts to Jesus, who is the temple, bringing their worship and meeting with God and getting in a good relationship with God. And Matthew is saying, did you spot all the clues? Four big clues. And the Bible is full of them. There's so many clues. There's just clue on clue on clue on clue on clue. Now, here's the question. That's all been fun. This is great. We've learned four good clues why Jesus is the world rescuer. He's God's chosen king who will fix the whole world. But what about you? You've got to listen up. What about you? Will you be like the Magi? Will you come to Jesus? Will you give him your worship? Will you trust in him? Jesus is the true and only King of the whole world. And he's coming back to this very world. And he's going to remove all the evil from this world. And if we're all bound up with sin, then we're part of that evil too. Jesus is the King. He's coming back to this world, but Jesus died to take away our sin. So you guys have to decide. Are you going to trust in Jesus? Are you going to come to him to take away your sin? Are you going to give him your worship and trust in him? Is he going to be your real, true bread of life? We're going to end there. Thank you, Magi. Very, very good. Let's say a prayer. We don't normally do this, but I'm going to pray. And if you want to, if you're listening along and you think, I'd like that prayer to be my prayer, you don't have to do it, don't worry, you don't have to do anything. But in your heart, you can make this prayer your prayer by talking to God in your heart, and you can say, amen, I believe that. I want to trust and follow Jesus. I want him to be my king as well. I want him to take away my sin. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, we'll sing. And the best way to grow as a Christian is you can talk to your parents. If your parents are Christians, you can talk to them and ask them to help you to know how to follow Jesus. So let's pray. We'll sing our final song, and then we'll close our worship. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Father, we pray that all of us would grow in our confidence that Jesus is the one that we need, the one we're looking for. He's the King of the world. He's the one who fixes all the problems that Adam and Eve started and that we've contributed to. And God, I pray that you'd help them. And if you're impressing yourself on any hearts this morning, Father, please help them to give them the understanding and help them to find the ways, the words to put their faith in you. Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Be our ruler. We want you to be our king. Take away our sin. We give you our lives and we give you our worship. Forgive us. We want you to be our bread, our heavenly bread. And help us to follow you all the days of our life. Amen.